Hour number three, Dale and Keith, Sports Radio WEEI. As you just heard during the award-winning Trending Now.
Thank you, Dale.
Just moments ago, Dez Bryant has signed with the New Orleans Saints. November 29th. Dallas Cowboys and the New Orleans Saints.
Is that right?
Yeah.
That might have been another reason.
I believe it's in Dallas, actually.
Perfect. That's where he still is. Right?
Could have had the birthday party then,
yeah,
I guess.
I was going to say they could have delayed it a little bit. Well, that'll be good.
Assuming that he, you know, makes the impact that we think he's going to make, he'll get a chance to rub it in Jason Garrett's face.
Because I don't think he's a number one receiver anymore, but that's the beauty of going to the Saints. You don't have to be. So I think Dez Bryant can still be pretty productive. And with a guy like Drew Brees, I think he could be a pretty big impact for them. Who all of a sudden, I mean, they're a Super Bowl contender, one of the top favorites probably.
So we were just talking a few moments ago about the possibility that there could be some trouble in River City over here next door at the Celtics practice facility, and the possibility that Terry Rozier.
Scary Terry. What are we going to do with all the shirts?
Minutes.
What are we going to do all the shirts?
I got shirts here. I got a garage full. We got to sell them.
You know what? I was just thinking about it.
Oh,
if he wants out, see you later. Bye. Bye. This team's doing something special. Take a hike. You want out? Bye. You want guys that are invested.
That turned quickly.
Don't you want guys that are, that want to be here?
Yeah, but usually that's what I say. And you say, what? You can't get rid of a guy like that. And all of a
you
sudden.
You say get rid of guys?
Well, I say that? If they don't like it, move.
Oh, yeah. Yes, that's what I'm saying.
If they're
with
unhappy,
Rozier?
Go.
Specifically with Rozier.
You know who says that? Words to live by. Vince McMahon.
Is that what he says?
Vince McMahon says if you're not.
He's been very.
There he goes.
Just.
You know, right now there
do you
are
want
folks
me to leave?
On,
is that what, right, is that what he wants?
We already did that. So right now there are folks on 128 driving who think that they're about to be hit by a fire truck.
They're not. It's just Rossi playing the one sound effect that he has.
That one.
So no, I read
so,
this.
So
I,
Vince McMahon says, yeah. If you're not unhappy here, I don't want unhappy people around me, you got to go. Just go. Now, that's the way the Celtics should approach this. If Terry Rozier's unhappy,
unhappy
with his playing time, unhappy with whatever.
So
take your garage full of T-shirts and go.
So see you later. Scary Terry, bye. See you later. So I clicked on this Real GM article, the headline, Terry Rozier receiving trade interest from at least seven teams. Seven. So I click on the
one
article.
One of them isn't the Celtics, but.
No. Seven, though, of the 29 potential teams.
That's good.
So I click on the
gives
article.
Gives Danny something to work with.
The article is about six lines, and it mentions one team.
Clickbait at its
I
finest.
I was looking for a little bit more.
It says, and you got sucked in.
I did. Oh, I got went right to it. It says, the Phoenix Suns have been one of the more aggressive teams in pursuing Rozier, who, by the way, the Celtics play in Phoenix tomorrow.
Oh, Danny could do work.
And so, actually, they might have even, I think they hijacked this from Shams, because it said his name's at the bottom of it. But, like, where's the rest of the article? Like, where are the other teams?
You have to click five other links to get to the
rest. Yeah, I'm not going there. But so the Suns, which, by the way, the Suns are hilarious to me. And they fired their GM earlier in the year, Ryan McDonough. But they're hilarious to me because a few years ago, before they traded Isaiah Thomas to the Celtics, they had Isaiah Thomas, they had Goran Dragic, and they had Brandon Knight. And they might have even had another guy. Oh, Eric Bledsoe. Right, they had like all these guys on the team, and they were like, we got to get, like, Isaiah Thomas doesn't get along with these guys. So they traded all of them away. Like, now they don't have any of them. At one point, they had more point guards than any team could possibly use. Now they don't have any. They've been starting Isaiah Cannon as their point guard. So Terry Rozier, this is one place where he certainly would be an upgrade.
And do it now. Get it over with. I mean, don't, like you were saying, well, you might need insurance later. If you got an unhappy guy here, he's probably not going to be great insurance for anybody.
But your point was right, too, whereas this isn't just, he didn't wake up today.
No.
And say, oh, I'm upset. Like, you're not better than Kyrie Irving. Like, I could see.
And which he said at the end of last season,
he said the right things.
But obviously, in his mind, he's going, okay, maybe I'm not better than him, but I'm better than that guy or that guy.
Right. Like, yeah, and I could see that. Like, there are other teams where he could be on where it'd be kind of a wash. Like, you'd look at, you know, him and whoever the other point guard you want to say, and you'd say, yeah, if he thinks he's better, you know, he might be right. But Kyrie Irving is one of the guys that's not the case. Like, you should. And now maybe his problem is you look at some nights, the first guys off the bench are Marcus Smart and Marcus Morris. So now you're not even the first guy off the bench. You go from being one of the stars, at least early on in the playoff run, to now you're the eighth man on the team. Like, on the one hand, I kind of get it. But I also feel like this is your last year with a title contending team. I don't know. I guess he feels differently, but I think 22, 23 minutes a night with the Celtics this year might get you paid more than 30 minutes a night with the Suns. I could be wrong, but I feel like it would. You'd be playing meaningful games. you could be a big part. How often do you see a guy, you know, a bench player have a big game in the playoffs and then teams overreact to that and then that guy ends up getting paid a ton?
We pointed out that his total minutes per game are only down about 3 minutes from what they were last year.
Yeah.
But when are those minutes happening? He's not starting. He's not out there at the end of games. You know, he's playing less impactful minutes. Is that fair to say?
Yeah, he is. He's not starting, and you know, depending on the situation, he's not closing games, and that's often the most important thing. Like if it's a close game late, that's who you want out there. And yeah, you mentioned so last year he averaged just under 26 minutes a night, and now it's just under 23. So like that number's there, but I think one of the things that sticks out is playoff minutes. He led the Celtics last year with 36.6 minutes. They didn't have a lot of guys. They didn't have Kyrie, so they kind of needed him. And then, you know, Marcus Smart, remember, he missed four games in the playoffs. So it was the Scary Terry show for a while. He was third on the team in scoring. He led the team in assists. He hit some big shots for him. He did. And he barely came off the court. So that is a big – so I think maybe to him, the way he's thinking about it, it's not just the drop-off from regular season minutes last year to regular season minutes this year. It was how much they relied on him in the playoffs. And now, you know, not playing nearly as much.
I think you need to go back to another real GM link, you know, that'll add another 20 teams to the interest, at least on the clickbait part, and not necessarily in the content part.
But what do you get for Terry Rozier? Last year of his contract.
You get a pick.
Just like a pick, probably.
You know, a lottery protected. Now you won't even get a first.
No. I don't think. It'll be
a second round pick.
Yeah, like 2 twos or something. Like, and that's not really worth anything. I mean, maybe I don't have the value of it. I just think in his last year, and then the added part where if the league knows you're trying to trade him, you know, it's like the Jimmy Butler situation, but obviously not as significant. Not talking about a star player like Jimmy Butler, but the rest of the league, they're like, we don't need to go too nuts because that thing is going to blow up on its own. Like, you need to get rid of it. You're better off getting rid of him than keeping him around. And I don't know. Like, again, this, you know, Bill Simmons said this, and then there's been a couple of reports, but I haven't heard anything too specific like Terry Rozier is a problem yet or there's anything like that. I don't know if it's his agent kind
they're
of whispering
probably,
out there.
Probably pretty good at keeping things
they've done a pretty
under
good,
wrap.
Yeah.
I mean, do we honestly think that around, and let's pick the most bland gray team on the planet, that even around the Patriots, things never happen? Or do we think they're just really good at keeping things quiet?
No, they're good at keeping things quiet, but they're maybe the best at it.
maybe the best ever.
They can do anything. You know, the Celtics, I remember stuff will come out a little bit later. Like some of the Ray Allen trade stuff or Rondo hawking the iced tea bottle at Doc Rivers. Like all that stuff comes out a little bit later. But so far, and again, the team on the court itself has also been kind of frustrating. And now this is sort of boiling over. So I'll tell you what, Brad Stevens has his absolute hands full. Like, that's what it comes down to. You got all this talent. Danny Ainge did his job, but now it's up to Brad Stevens to sort of manage the egos, including Terry Rozier.
617-779-7937 is the telephone number. You can text us at 37937. Patrick's on the cell phone. Hey, Patrick, how you doing?
Hey, guys, how are you?
Good. Doing great.
Just to touch base real quick on the Red Sox. Are we saying the Red Sox aren't spending any new money this year, you think?
No, I mean, I wouldn't completely rule it out, but they
I don't think there's going to be a lot because they've got guys who are going to get raises. They're going to, you know, just the arbitration numbers. Mookie in arbitration is going to get 18, 19 million.
Right. No, and that's what I understand all that, and that's what I was thinking. Just a crazy thought. You know, if Kimbrel doesn't come back, you know, I'm not going to cry over it, although, you know, it would be nice if they could make that 3-year deal happen. But let's say he's gone. I definitely don't want Barnes being my closer. I'm really iffy on Joe Kelly being my closer. It'd be nice to have Eovaldi there, and I was thinking possibly pick up Dallas Keuchel from the Houston Astros. He's a free agent, and I think that would be a nice addition to the lineup. And, you know, just putting Nathan in the closing spot. You know, obviously they're worried about the surgeries and his arm and everything like that. You know, it's something where he's not throwing, you know, numerous innings every start. It'll keep his arm fresh, and I just think that would be a route to go, possibly.
I mean, I love Nathan Eovaldi's arm.
Yeah.
You know, because you saw some amazing things in a relief role here. I don't think that the Red Sox acquired him because they thought he was going to become the closer of the future. No. I think they thought they were adding him to the rotation.
And I think he's going to get starter money, even if it's here. If it happens to be here, then it's tough to sort of move him to the pen because you're paying him to hopefully throw 200 innings, you know, and not 60. As important as those 60 could be, I think that he'll probably get starter money. And Dallas Keuchel is one of the top free agents. Even
he's
though he's in his 30s, he's
going to get a crap ton of money.
He's going to make a ton of money.
I mean, even again, we go back to the premise we floated earlier. Okay, we're going to let Chris Sale go after next year.
Yeah.
Even if you do that, I mean, for next year, you already had the highest payroll in baseball.
Yeah, right.
How much is ownership going to be willing to add to that?
Kind of tough. Now you get Hanley Ramirez's money off the books, maybe Craig Kimbrell's money off the books. So, I mean, you'll have some to mess around with. And also, oh, by the way, Joe Kelly is also a free agent. So if your idea is that he's going to be the closer,
he's going to get a big raise.
He's going to get a much more than he made this year. Yeah.
And now that I've hung around with him for a while, I'm on the Bradfo train. I mean, whatever Joe Kelly wants, Joe Kelly gets.
Good. So who's going to break that news? Is it going to be you or is it going to be Bradfo where Kelly signs?
Bradfo.
No, that's too bad.
I think Bradfo's hung around with him more than me.
More.
I don't think it was as connected as Joe and I were.
No, true.
But, Bradfo skulks outside the...
It's a real quality versus quantity argument.
Exactly. Yeah. That's the way I look at it.
You know who else is a free agent this year? Somebody to keep an eye on? Clay Buchholz.
No, thank you.
Okay.
I'm good. You want to go back there?
Hell no.
Oh, okay.
No, I don't.
Okay, good. Al's in Waltham. Hey, Al.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good.
What's going on?
So I wanted to touch base on the Teddy Rozier talk here today.
Yep.
I think that the issue he's having right now is that he was able to experience some real starting minutes last year during the playoffs during that time that Kyrie was injured. So he got a taste of that. He fell in love with it. You know, he fell in love with the whole Scary Terry situation.
Yeah, for sure.
The way he dominated Eric Bledsoe in the playoffs, and they're all calling him his dad. So I think that's something that he kind of sees he doesn't have right now, and he kind of wants to go and be back to that starting position and maybe go and contend for a team where he can be a starter and play those full starter minutes so that he can actually get that taste of some stardom, get back to that Scary Terry mentality. I don't know what you guys think about that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not going to start him, though, just because he wants to start. Yeah. Like, if he just did
Kyrie, then, sorry. Yeah. We're going to start Terry, okay?
I mean, just...
We want him to feel better about himself.
I mean, you can't do it. I mean, he's still getting his minutes. I mean, not again. Even his playoff minutes from last year, like that's the extreme. Like,
right.
Not, everybody plays more.
And
or
even
your good
he
players
would have
play
to understand
more,
that there were extenuating circumstances that led to that.
But even that, like even star players in the league, they just up the minutes in the playoffs. That's just how it is. So now you get back to the regular season, and you're like, all right, it's a long grind, and you're sort of preparing yourself for another playoff run. So. It's just, through 10 games, I don't know how you can, if this is really a problem and if he's already upset about it, I don't know how you reverse that. Because what do you say? Like, unless Kyrie Irving goes down with an injury and Rozier ends up being the starter again, there's no way where I think you can really force him to get much more time. And most of the time, they have so many scorers on this team that he's never going to be the number one option. I mean, unless he's with the bottom five guys on the roster, like there's still going to be better options out there.
Hit us up on Twitter at Dale Keefe, WEEI. Now more of Dale Arnold and Rich Keefe on the WEEI Sports Radio Network.
The way you reach out to us here, we're happy to talk to you as we've been all over the place today. We've briefly mentioned the Bruins, not a ton. We've talked about the Celtics, the Red Sox,
turmoil
the Patriots.
With the Celtics. Turmoil. A little bit? No?
A little tiny kinda, bit. It kinda. Sounds like it's the sort of thing that I expect Danny Ainge will just swat aside if it is.
Oh, yeah, he could definitely do that. The question will be, do the Celtics have a Terry Rozier problem?
Next year, it'll play itself out the right way.
Yeah, the right way could be you playing in Phoenix, it sounds like.
Sooner rather than later.
That did happen kind of quick, didn't it? I mean, you'd think maybe closer to the trade deadline, if somebody's not happy, maybe they want to go. But you wonder how much of this is Rozier or how much of this is his agent, combination thereof. So we'll see.
So the Red Sox 25-man opening day payroll, by the way, this year was $233,752,000. 429.
Tops in the majors.
Most in the majors. How much do we think they're going to go up on that?
I don't think they're going to go much higher, but they're going to not... Kimbrel was like 13, right? So you take Kimbrel off.
13 and a half, I think, but yeah.
What was Hanley? Hanley was a bunch. 20-something? Over 20, right? So you take those guys off, and then you have a little bit more room to play with. So, I mean... They might add another guy, or they just have to bring back some of their guys, you know, whether it's Joe Kelly
Which
or Evaldi or whatever.
Some money.
Right, exactly. And then some of the arbitration guys are going to get a bump up there. It's not going to be the same 25 guys from last year. Teams are always adding. Like, they might add a bullpen arm. They might add somebody else. But I think it's going to be pretty similar to what we just saw.
Good news. Ruzny Castillo has 2 more years under contract.
That's it?
2019 for $11 million.
Oh,
2020
God.
For $13.5 million.
But that's not taxed, though. That's not included because they've never
No, no, I'm
back
just
up.
Saying
they,
the amount yeah. of money that they have
oh,
to
yeah,
play
yeah,
with.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, they still got all of that money sitting down in...
Oh, they're paying a good team to play somewhere else. If you go through all their different guys, they got plenty of guys they're paying to go somewhere.
So we've talked about the Sox, we've talked about the Pats and Malcolm Butler and how he's going to do against Tom Brady this weekend.
I like Malcolm Butler. As far as players that have left the Patriots, he's definitely a guy I was rooting for, and it's just he's been so bad. You really do kind of feel for him.
Lou's down on the Cape. Hey, Lou.
Hey, how's it going, fellas?
What's up, Lou?
Outstanding. The only thing about Malcolm Butler that I would like to add on to what you fellas said was you said when they come to town, he's going to have a hard time. Who is he going to guard? I'm playing you, Keith. Who is he going to guard? Josh Gordon? And the answer is no. He would get dogged by Josh Gordon.
Mm-hmm.
But then, Keith, you said Edelman and Hogan.
I think Hogan, not Edelman.
I think he could definitely cover Hogan. I think Edelman's too quick for him.
Edelman is a scrappy dirt dog type of wide receiver, hence my words.
But I know what you're saying there. I know what you're saying,
athletic.
Lou. But he's also
he's
quick
an athletic
as
athletic cornerback.
He's quick
now,
as a hiccup.
I believe this personally. If all the problems and strugglings that he's having now, the cure to it would be to guard Edelman or to guard Hogan. That's just done deal. Those kind of receivers that you're talking about, the scrappy dirt dog type of receiver, they never ever do well against athletic corners, with the exception of Don Beebe. But Don Beebe never went up against...
Don Beebe?
Julian Edelman is Don Beebe.
I'm give you guys a little credit here. That's how far you go back. But we all know Don Beebe never went up against a one or a two corner. The one and two would be playing Lofton and what's the other guy's name there?
Andre Reed. Let me ask you something, Lou. Do you think that Malcolm Butler is a real number one corner anymore?
Now, that's a different question.
Okay.
Now we're getting to the...
Well done, Keith.
Yeah, thank you.
Now, you can't be... Now, I'm not going to lie. Now, you put him on, like you said, Amari Cooper and Hearns, he got torched. He can't guard those guys. To answer your question, no.
Okay.
He's definitely not an NFL number one shutdown corner.
Right.
However...
Ooh.
How many number one wide receivers do the Patriots have? Because if you ask me, I'm taking the tight end out the mix. But if you ask me, as far as receivers go, I give you Josh Gordon. You can keep the rest of them. Put them anywhere you want.
Lou's fired up. I like the passion here from Lou.
I just wanted to bring that point out on
Thank you.
And I'm going to be watching this game.
Me too.
I guarantee you, if he guards those scrappy dirt dog guys, he's gonna look like Deion Sanders. Thanks, fellas.
Lou, you're out of your mind. Quit calling Edelman. I know what you're doing, but quit calling Edelman just a scrappy dirt dog.
He's pretty good.
How many guys are quicker than him? Now, maybe Edelman's not going to beat a lot of cornerbacks down the field in a straight line, but if Malcolm Butler tries to defend Julian Edelman in one of those little windows and it's like an option route, I don't think Butler's keeping up with him. Most corners in the league can't keep up with him. So you might not get the same play on Monday Night Football where Allen Hurns is standing 20 yards behind him. Maybe that doesn't happen. But if it's 3rd and 5 and Malcolm Butler tries to jam Julian Edelman off the line and he just shakes him out of his boots and catches a pass for first down, that could happen every time. I do think Edelman is a number one receiver. He's not as good as Beckham and Julio Jones and Antonio Brown and all those guys. It looks a little bit different, but I think we're being a little dismissive if you're just calling him the Trot Nixon of wide receivers.
Yeah, I think that we've seen enough. We've got enough of a track record with these guys to know that
he's not Don Beebe.
Don Beebe.
Great reference, by the way.
When was the last time Don Beebe came up at this radio station? Ever?
Oh, no. Yeah, maybe the mid-90s Super Bowls.
Fred brought it up maybe one time.
Yeah, that was a good guy, Fred, Don Beebe.
Yeah, he might have just, you know, snuck that by us at one point in the past.
That was a good reference, though.
You know, if Malcolm Butler, we have audio for this coming Monday show. Malcolm Butler is going to be covering Josh Gordon, and this is what you're going to hear.
Oh, it's caught! Josh Gordon!
I got to have the puppet gif on standby. If Malcolm Butler is on Josh Gordon, I'm going to have to get multiple angles.
There could be three puppet gifs.
I'm going to have to.
And 14 angry callers come Monday.
That guy hasn't called in.
I think he's done.
Maybe he unfollowed me. Hopefully, for his sake. Because there's a lot more where that came from. Gordon's really hitting his stride now with this team.
None of us, well, I can't speak for everyone. I always thought that if he was on the field, he was going to be great. I just didn't think he'd be able to stay on the field.
And he's
based on his
wrong.
Track record. Absolutely is. Absolutely yeah. is. Based on his track record, it was not an unreasonable thought that he might not be able to last
no,
year.
No, I was hopeful because last year, by the time he finally got cleared after, you know, two and a half lost seasons, he was eligible to play in 5 games last year. I know it's a very small sample, but he played in all 5 of those games. So I was just hopeful that, all right, turn around this year, put him on the Patriots and see how he goes. So it's still like he is as week to week as anybody is. Like he just that's,
sure,
and he always will be. Like that's just how it is.
My understanding, talking to some folks down around there, is that the Patriots have put a support system in place for Josh Gordon that is remarkable.
Like Matthew Slater, that Shadow Shea,
and they have the staff people, and
they have like that personality coach or whatever it is. Yeah. So good.
That they oh no, absolutely. Because
you can't
smart.
Just you can't just do
oh well he's here now, he'll be fine.
Right,
we're good.
Right. That's not how that works.
No, it's intelligent. You go and get a guy like that, you know what kind of talent he has. If he's on the field, he's a force. So let's do everything we can do to make sure he stays on the field.
And if Malcolm Butler lines up over Josh Gordon, you can bet that Tom Brady's going to look over there and sling it right to him.
There he is.
Oh, it's caught!
Yeah,
Josh
every
Gordon!
Time.
I just don't think there's a chance on God's green earth.
I don't think so either.
That Mike Vrabel and his defensive staff say, hey, Malcolm, see that number 10 over there? That's your guy.
I just, you wonder, I mean, it's not, was it 8 games? Because they had their bye. So it's 8 games for the Titans. We went over the numbers. He's dead last across the board for corners, catches, yards, touchdowns. I know they gave him a lot of money, but they're a team that, you know, realistically, they could win the wild card or, I mean, at least be in the mix, right? Like, their season's not over like some of these other teams are. So at what point do you have to make that change and say, listen, we're trying to win here. We can't afford to have this guy giving up touchdown after touchdown.
The Titans, by the way, coming into this game, have the number one scoring defense in the National Football League, believe it or not.
Is that right?
The number one scoring defense in the NFL.
And that's with Malcolm Butler.
Yep.
Hey, so you know what? Maybe that guy that called in earlier that said they have 10 other playmakers, maybe he wasn't that far off.
Courtesy of Mike Giardi, here are Tom Brady's stats when he faces the number one scoring defense. He's 16-5.
Pretty good.
Completion percentage is 64.7.
Down.
Passing yards per game, 278.6. Touchdown to interception ratio, 40-12.
Pretty good.
Passer rating 97.1. That's when he's facing the best scoring defense in the NFL.
That's pretty well.
He does really
He does pretty well.
Especially if he's got somebody to pick on like we think he's going to have.
I think he could have a good game this weekend. Brady.
Like, is this a fantasy hot tip you're offering up for free?
It is Warm Take Wednesdays, Dale, so I thought
I forget. I you know, we have so many different nicknames and stuff. I forget.
I had to mix in a couple
Could
of
Could I trouble
takes.
You for a glass of warm milk?
Yep, Brady's going to have a good game on Sunday.
Nice.
There you go.
Matt's in Smithfield. Hey, Matt.
Hi, guys. Thanks for having me on.
Sure. No problem.
So my comment on Edelman, and I'm a huge Patriots fan.
Right.
And I'm thinking in a couple of weeks, once all his performance-enhancing drugs wear off and he can't work out in the gym and he can't put up as much weight and he's not as quick, he's going to be done.
You know that those have been out of his system for a long time now?
Yeah, he got popped a while ago.
Yeah, I understand that. But he's still been able to work out and, you know, that's still in his system.
No, it isn't.
How do you know?
No, it's not.
Well, not that it's in his system, but he's been able to work out as hard as he can. Another couple of weeks, he's going to drop off and the Patriots are going to come up with an excuse.
Is that right?
Why he's not playing anymore.
Well, he probably
he's not going to play.
He's not even going to play?
I don't think they're going to play him. I think he's going to drop off and somebody else is going to have to step up.
And wow. And what are you basing this breaking news on?
Yeah, science?
Well, because he's just not going to be the same player as he was without being able to use his performance-enhancing drugs.
How's he played so far this year? When he started playing.
It's in his system, though, Dale.
No, it's not in his system.
He's played great this year, but I'm telling you, as he goes to the gym and he starts working out, he's not going to be able
to. Was he always on something then, his whole career? Because he's had a pretty good career.
I believe maybe not his whole career, but I believe that he's.
Well, guess what?
How did he not get popped before?
Yeah, he never got tested positive. So even if he was on stuff, he knew what he was doing to not get popped.
True.
So why can't he just keep doing that?
Well, this is just my prediction.
Oh, you know, cool. That he's going to be done in a couple of weeks. What week? Just so we can mark. We keep track of all the predictions here. What week is that?
I'm saying week 11.
Week 11. Okay.
Lucy, write that down.
He's done.
Week 11. Matt Smithfield says he's done. Week 11.
That's going to be it, huh?
We'll be rehashing that one.
Isn't that the bye week?
On Friday.
Isn't that the bye week?
Perfect time to be done.
Well, you know.
He's not going to perform that week.
Yeah, he won't be playing.
Yeah, all
right. You know what? Matt may be right. He'll be done.
He's not wrong.
He will not up a single yard.
No, that's true. Week 11.
In week 11.
Yeah, good point. He got it right.
Good God.
Take Dale and Keefe with you wherever you go. Download the radio.com app. Now back to Dale and Keefe on WEEI.
Seven seven nine seven ninety three seven is the telephone number. Text line is 37937. I was just writing down.
What's the problem?
I was just writing down when Julian Edelman will no longer be playing.
Week 11.
According
to that last guy. Hey, it's a warm take Wednesday. You might as well jump aboard.
Now
give us your warm takes.
That one wasn't even very.
I don't know what that was. That was like an odd
tepid
prediction.
Take Tuesday or something.
He just wanted to reference that Edelman got popped for PEDs.
Because we didn't know that.
We knew that. But now to suggest that all of a sudden it's going to run the.
He can't
course,
go to the gym anymore.
I think he can.
I think he does.
I think he does. I think he's in great shape, it seems like. I think, if anything, the PEDs helped him recover from the injury. And now he's over the injury. okay.
Well, once the PEDs are out of his system, yeah. I mean, it hasn't happened yet, but when it happens.
I think the better thing to do, like if you want to predict the end of Julian Edelman, which I don't really know where that came from, but he is 32 and he plays a position that really relies on his quickness. So you could say, hey, what's he going to look like next year or the year after that? Like, I could definitely understand that. But to go down the PED route, I don't know if it really applies right now.
You know what? If you're a Jets fan, what else do you have to, I mean, let's be honest.
You know, like Sam Darnold?
With his 4 INTs last week?
But if you forget the last 7 weeks.
Okay,
eight weeks. Yeah, what do you think of the...
Week one, he was really good.
He looked sharp. Looked like they got that pick right.
I mean, if you're a Jets fan, what else do you have in life?
Not much. I guess you got to... Yeah, because most Jets fans, I feel like, also like the Mets, right? It's usually like that's sort of the link. It's like Yankees, Giants, Mets, Jets. And so they really get the raw end of it. Those teams have not been very competitive in a while.
So we've got that going on today. By the way, Bill Belichick is meeting with the media today.
Yes.
And, it's Wednesday. Now, it used to be the quarterback met with the media, but Tom has turned that into a Friday thing
it's
now.
It's like a lot of Friday afternoons.
Now, normally down at Gillette today, and Belichick is meeting with the media now, and he does.
Yeah.
Normally Gronk does. I'm going to go out on a limb and suggest he's not going to do that today.
No, probably
he
not.
He did last week. Gave one of those weird, strange press conference things.
Then didn't you think that meant he was going to play?
Yes.
Right? And I know he missed Wednesday's practice, but then he still spoke, and then he was limited the rest of the week. So I thought he was going to play, and then he didn't. And now that certainly has to call into question this week. And Adam Schefter had the report on, was it Sunday night or maybe it was Monday night? Adam Schefter said the Sony Michel probably will play against Tennessee, whereas Rob Gronkowski is up in the air. I just think at this point, I was doing the numbers, and I obviously didn't bring them with me. But I believe, Dale, for Rob Gronkowski to hit his incentives.
Oh, yeah, you were going to. That was your homework assignment.
I crunched the numbers, I want to do.
Thank you.
I took out my TI-83 graphing calculator.
You still
Texas
have one?
Instruments. Yeah, it's going to be somewhere in a shoebox.
By the way, Texas Instruments has such a monopoly. Because
they do.
Every single class, you know, when you get your
you
syllabus
had,
at
you
the beginning.
Had to get one.
They'll say, the TI-83. Yeah. And, I mean, we must have 12 of them around the house with the different kids. None of them are used.
No. I could spell boobs. Like, that was about it. That's all I could really do.
Congratulations,
with it. Yeah,
Keith.
So that was really the high water
mark. An education not wasted.
No, every penny. We earned it. he needs to, along the lines of 6 catches, 91 yards, and a touchdown every week from now to the end of the season in order to hit all 3 of the incentives. Yeah. And that's if he play, like, and that's also playing every game. And I don't know if you would feel very good about that. So I think that's very unlikely. Not that he couldn't do that for a game or two, but to do that for 7 straight games, I think even for him is asking a bit much. So those are probably cooked. That's why I wouldn't play him this Sunday and just give him the extra week. And then you come back, you know, final 5 games or whatever it is of the season, and then hopefully healthy in the playoffs.
Won't we get an idea if Gronk does not do the podium today? We'll get an idea that they're not planning on it. See, I think last Wednesday they thought he was going to play.
Yeah, they must have.
I think they thought he was, and you know what it's like. You get hurt down there, you become invisible.
Right. Well, he played last Monday, so you were thinking, all right, so unless he got hurt, but he didn't get hurt and leave the field or anything like that, so you thought, all right, maybe he's going to play this week. So that must have been, because you always wonder when guys like Schefter or Jay Glazer or whoever report on Sunday, you know, player X is going to work out on the field before the game and then determine it. And you're always like, eh, is that really the case? Or do they already kind of know? But it felt like this week, that probably really was the case with those guys. I bet the team wasn't even 100% sure until Sunday. Now, they were prepared to play without him.
I think
but...
they decided by the end of the week. I mean, I think they decided by like Friday, Saturday, he's not going.
See, I wonder if he felt good on Sunday, then if he would have said, all right, you know, you wait to the last possible minute, especially on a short week. And you say, all right, here we go. Like, I think I can do it. But then they didn't, and they played the whole game with one tight end, and it didn't matter.
We're going to call an audible here.
Hot route.
Yeah, well, I don't even know what that means. But
hot
we're,
route.
We're,
Omaha.
Yeah.
That's
Omaha.
I've heard that.
But we're going to do that. Tommy Kern is going to join us right now, well, right after the top of the hour.
Ooh.
Not at 1:30.
One sharp.
We don't have a name. We don't have a name for that, do we?
No, we don't. I'll come up with something.
Oh, I think we're
I'm
good. Thank
it.
You.
I'm working on it.
So we'll talk to Tommy in just a few minutes. Get back to your calls as well. It's Dale and Keefe, Sports Radio, WEEI.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.